The 35th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 35th Gene Key moves from hunger to boundlessness, and it's the path of adventure. There are some Gene Keys whose shadow just seems ancient, that just stretch back into the animal kingdom, rooted in primal urges that have dominated our human planet for eons. And this 35th Gene Key has just such a shadow. Hunger, fear, lust, these are the drivers of the beast. These are the primal life urges that lay out the field of the shadow. And here we have hunger, hunger to eat, thirst to drink, hunger for power, hunger to escape, hunger to forget what we've done, hunger for warmth, for love, for connection, hunger for truth. Hunger for unity, for culture, for beauty, hunger for God, hunger, raw and pure. It lives inside each and every one of us, and it won't let us alone. The shadow, it isn't all about suffering. Here's a new truth for some of us. Hunger can also be sweet. It can be savoured. It can be drawn out. It can be appreciated. It can give us a sense of perspective. Hunger makes us human. It can bring us together. Every shadow contains a gift if we learn how to tailor that gift and how to mould it to our advantage. This is a trial and error process because it's all about balance. The balance is between appreciating our mortality, our vulnerability, and our tendency towards excess. A little bit of shadow is good for us. You know, without it, we'd be lacking in fibre, in backbone, in humanity. But excess of shadow leads to pain, to stress, and to exhaustion. And excess also can become addictive. When we flood our body with hormones, with an excess of food or drink or anything, then we always pay the price. There's an exact measure for the shadow, and we have to learn the art of homeopathy. You know, how to take the smallest dose of the shadow so that we don't get trapped either by excess or by starvation. And the other route, of course, is to starve ourselves, to go the way of the Puritans, the ascetics. And so often that way, that path, also leads to addiction and worse, to superiority. My friend Hamvas Bella, Hungarian writer, philosopher, genius, he's dead by the way, he says that there is an exact measure for drinking wine. Wine should take you just to the edge of intoxication, so you shouldn't hardly feel it at all. But you just the smallest push, like a laugh or a smile from someone you love, will become that extra sip that intoxicates you. And this, of course, is a wonderful metaphor for life. You know, can you live your life like that? A little bit of shadow. This Gene Key is about being filled with life. It's about stretching out into new experience. And life provides us with an almost infinite set of possible new experiences. Now, if you draw a circle of just half a mile around your home, you're going to find enough experience within that circle to last you an entire lifetime. So we have to be careful about becoming trapped by the same old ways of satiating our hunger. The same patterns that exhaust us, the same ways of talking, the same ways of acting and reacting, the same way of eating food, the same way of looking at life, the same mindset. There is a beauty in repetition. Repetition is essential to a balanced way of living, but not repetition of awareness. The awareness should always be fresh and open and zingy. Life can easily become stale through repetition. The programming partner here is the fifth shadow of boredom. But that's only because of our inner attitude. If we aren't doing things with presence, then we don't notice the subtle changes and the differences in things. The same thing is never really the same. The planets are in different places, places they've never been in before, as they wheel through the cosmos. And every challenge we face is really a new opportunity to respond imaginatively, to see things from a new perspective. To evolve. The dilemma here is self-indulgence, and you can see why. Just a little too much satiation, and it becomes self-indulgence. a small amount, a measured amount of indulgence is actually healthy, so long as it doesn't harm another. You know when you've lapsed into self-indulgence because it leads you to feeling bad about yourself. It leads to sickness. So the secret of mastering this shadow is knowing when to stop. Stop just before the edge. Leave a little hunger in the bank. Try not to satiate it completely. And if you do, then that's fine. Be forgiving of yourself. Be understanding of those who are driven by the hunger, who do terrible things in life because they're driven by this hunger for power or territory or food or revenge. You don't have to forgive them right away. That level of forgiveness takes mastery. But try and understand the world through this shadow. Try and see how we each are driven by this insatiable hunger. We will fall. We will forget. We will make the mistake countless times. That is the purpose of life. To grow in awareness as we ingest the shadow, as we learn to let it become transmuted inside our very chemistry. Let the shadow thus become your friend rather than making it your enemy. Learn to drink tea with it. Learn to unlock its secrets, its siddhi. That's the lesson in this jinki. The 35th gift, adventure. There's a wonderful practice that comes from this gift, and I call it silo busting. You may have heard of the expression. And a silo is a self-contained enclosure that doesn't connect outwards, but that only serves itself. Silos are everywhere. Our thought patterns are silos. Our behavior patterns are silos. Our homes can be silos. Our relationships, our job, our culture, our beliefs, our language, our lives. Take a look at your life through the lens of this gift, the gift of adventure. This can be a very exciting thing to do. Listen to life as it comes to you. It's constantly presenting you with new opportunities to bust open your silos. There's this mad film I once saw. It's called Yes Man. It's about this man who decides to follow this teacher who advocates saying yes to everything and everyone that comes your way. So if a homeless man asks you for all your money, you have to give it to him. Anyway, once this man starts to follow this teaching, his life changes in dimensions that were previously unthinkable. And of course, he meets all kinds of new people and activates synchronicities that are miraculous. And it's a silo-busting film. And you don't have to take it to that extreme. That's inadvisable. But if you are listening to life, then you'll take many more opportunities that she is offering you. And one of the things that will really change is that the various spheres of your life will begin to connect to each other in a new way. So your working life and your relationships will begin to dovetail. Relationships in one area will cross over into other silos. You may find yourself doing things in completely new ways. And a mundane example might be that you start putting bird food out in your garden, and then all these new creatures visit you. Perhaps you bother to find out the name of the man in the grocery shop who always serves you, and another silo opens up. You know, the gift of adventure is just this. It isn't about going out far and wide, necessarily. It's really about sampling the incredible diversity of life experience that is being offered to you now. So consider your silos. Read a new kind of book. Listen to your kids' music instead of trying to get away from it. Step into someone else's silo. Build bridges. Everywhere you go, build bridges. See how many new bridges you can build in a single day. Get your hands in the soil if you don't already. Go visit the city if you don't go often. Move through the silos you tend to avoid. Bring your awareness deeper into the world, into life, and discover what an extraordinary place this earth is. And take tiny doses of the shadow. You needn't avoid it. Just sample it. This can be even allowing a new kind of thinking in your life. Reach out across the chasms and see where life really wants to take you. This will make every day of your life a new adventure. Now, you need to understand me here. This isn't necessarily about doing new things. It's about doing the things you do in a new way, with a new kind of openness, a new kind of awareness, not driven by hunger alone. The hunger is there. We acknowledge it. We also allow it to reach out inside our lives and move us closer to things, to create a greater intimacy within the circles of our lives. So Since this gift is allied with the fifth gift of patience, that gives us another clue. Learn how to pause, to wait, to converse, to exchange, and to pay attention. If someone starts talking to you in the middle of something, the middle of doing something, stop what you're doing and give them your full attention, at least for some moments, and that pause may prove magical. Patience and adventure. Two words twisted into a wonderful paradox. Patience with the shadow, adventure with the gift, and adventure with the shadow, and patience with the gift. They underpin each other. Let adventure be your way. It's why we're here, to move closer to life, to build bridges, to be present with the many fruits that lie littered all around us. The 35th city, boundlessness. The 35th city is truly a crazy city. I don't know how I know these things. I really don't. They just emerge out of my unknowing, but I also love to read the patterns. And this 35th gene key is unique in that, within the codon rings, the genetic families of the gene keys. The 35th gene key stands alone like an island. And all other gene keys, with the sole exception of the 41st gene key, which represents the start codon, are grouped in families. So what are we to infer from this? Well, for one, it's why this gene key is hungry. It drives us to connect because it's alone. And it also sits there like a wormhole. And that's what these connections are between silos. They're wormholes that connect different universes. So it's through this city that bizarre things can occur. Time may be bent, the future meets the past, and the laws that govern one universe meet the laws that govern another. Higher beings can use this city wormhole to move in and out of our world. I have no idea what that really means or looks like, but it feels to me to be an intuitive truth. The ancients called this hexagram easy progress, and it's generally seen as highly beneficial or signifying the emergence of heightened consciousness. And its image is connected to a radiant sun, which feels very appropriate since the sun itself is our wormhole to higher consciousness. And this city is also connected to the possibility of flight. It's about flying. You know, when we dream of flying in our physical bodies, it's because we've done so in another dimension. And one day these dimensions will interconnect again and we'll experience that for real. It's a future memory. Flight is the terrain of the boundless, and our hearts are the wings that will one day make that possible as we move towards our ultimate adventure. And I know this sounds quite mad to many people, but we humans are in fact obsessed with the idea, but just no one really talks about it. I mean, our younger generations are obsessed by the idea of flight, all these superheroes who can fly, but we consider it fantasy. You know, one day we're going to see for ourselves what really lies inside this DNA. You know, I'll be taken to task for my flights of fancy. You know, scientific types will crucify me for saying such things. I accept that. It won't happen for a while, probably. And in evolutionary terms, it may be thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. I don't know. But it will happen. Because it's already happened. So this 35th gene key, it's a relic from an earlier evolution, and it sits there in our DNA like an appendix in our gut. It's from an earlier epoch, and in that epoch it was once the start codon. In other words, the 35th city dictated everything. You know those magical Chinese films where the characters fly across the rooftops? That was us. We lived in a more merged time, long, long ago, before the Great Flood. Our DNA was different then as well. Now we've become more complex as we've diversified. We've progressed. And this gene key has assured that. It's driven us with its hunger. And our deepest hunger. Our deepest hunger, it's to fly again. To sail up into the sky and become one with the divine. To be a bird in the skies of existence. Easy progress. That's us. It may not feel like it now, but there are twists written into the plot line of our evolution. There's always going to be unexpected wormholes that open up before us. If we can remember the grand adventure that we're really on, our lives will become easier and more detached. Individual lifetimes will seem less important. Then we can enter into the timeless and the boundless dimensions. Knowing that one day you will fly means that right now you can silently smile and flow with the river in its current form. And the river will reach the ocean. So just relax and sit down and enjoy easy progress. Let go of the sound and the fury of your life and its desperate quests and its seriousness. And settle down and look out the windows. And look to the birds in the sky. Listen to this advice from Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert, repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things.